You're listening to Oystermouth Radio.
And this afternoon on Oystermouth Radio, we have the business programme with Jane Woodman. Jane.
Thank you. Today I've got Lynn Rees of Chai on Newton Road. So, for nearly 8 years, Lynn, you and your family have been selling rather wonderful savoury food at the top of Newton Road. You also sell gorgeous homemade cakes, artisan bread, and you're one of the biggest importers of loose leaf tea. Recently, you've launched your own Gower tea brand, and you sell lots of accessories for tea. So, a lovely environment, I think. A lovely welcoming environment. Mm-hmm. So, tell
what
me
we aim for.
Tell me a bit about your background.
My background. In terms of work background, I started off in the travel and tourism industry. And that probably came around because of doing a fair bit of travelling when I was younger, you know, as a family. And then from then, I was invited by one of the lecturers at Swansea College to go and help with setting up a mock travel agents for the students to practice on. And that, without too much delay, that became teaching time, and so it went on. So I spent a nice 18 years of teaching students about travel and tourism, customer service, and getting them involved in the industry that way. And then after that, we sort of progressed onwards and started up our own business.
So how did you get to the point where you set up Chai?
Well, it really came about because my son was keen to learn the best way he could to be a chef. And he opted to go to the Ballymaloe Cookery School just near Cork in Southern Ireland. So we saw him off to do that for a few months, and he successfully passed that and graduated from that. But not only did he come away with a career in what we hope would be a career in cookery, but he also met the lady who's now his wife, and she had done the same. So both of them on the course together. They wanted to do a little bit of travelling, and that was great. They went to Australia and New Zealand and picked up more skills as they went. And then when they finally decided to settle, they settled here in Mumbles, and they weren't quite sure which way they wanted to go. So they started by making jams and chutneys, and I'd always been interested in tea, so we were looking at tea, and we sort of decided that this might be a nice product as well to go alongside the jams and chutneys. So we took a stall at Mumbles Farmers Market, which we've been doing now for over 10 years. And we did some other events. And that became our market research for eventually opening Chai at the top of Newton Road.
Oh, fantastic. Mm. So the contemporary food that we find there,
yes.
Where do those ideas come from?
I can't actually lay claim to those, I have to be honest. I left, certainly the development of the menu was up to Luke and Becky to come up with. And they wanted to do something slightly different to what other people were doing. And so they came up with this menu, which included things like Spanish tortilla, which are made fresh there. Luke's very good at doing things like all the savouries. So he does the pastry for his tartlets as well. And as time went on, developed his Scotch eggs as well. So he makes those. They're all made by hand.
Absolutely legendary.
And we try and source everything, you know, the ingredients as much as we can locally. We found a fantastic rare breed pork supplier, a local farm. So he uses all his pork for those as well.
And what about the cakes?
Well, I have to lay those at Becky's door. I do contribute, but a very, very small part. But she really is our prolific cake maker, and she likes to try different ones all the time. But I think that must come from her Irish background, being brought up on a farm in Ireland, knowing all the nice ingredients. She makes some really superb cakes.
It's like something out of a Famous Five story.
Almost. You know,
yes. Really lovely tea and cakes in the afternoon.
Yes. They go so well together.
So in terms of Chai itself as a physical entity, what was involved in setting that up?
Really, it was having, obviously you've got to have an idea as to the where you see it and what you want it to be. I suppose my ideas started off as it being, and we called it Chai Delicatessen and Tea Shop. And an idea, because he was involved as well, was that it was going to be a deli, you know, every man's dream. Their idea, a little bit, we've come, and but I think they certainly seem to like the food that we produce. Mm-hmm. So it was a case of finding a venue that would suit our needs. Obviously, we didn't have any idea how it was going to go, so we didn't want anything huge. And we were starting it up a little bit on a shoestring. And so that's why we ended up with 20 seats now we've got, and some of those are comfy seats as well as tables and chairs.
The bit at the back is really nice with the books.
Yes, the library wallpaper, so it looks like somebody's front room, really.
Yes. Very lovely, very cosy and inviting.
Yeah, yes. Well, I always say it's very tempting.
Can you look back at were the biggest challenges?
Estimate marketing, and that's probably trying to work out your budget for starting up any business. And we have a problem in as much as people come into us and say, oh, hadn't noticed you here before. How long have you been here? And of course, we've been here nearly 8 years now. So I think we must be one of the best kept secrets in Mumbles. and that probably has come down to the fact that marketing was at the bottom of our list.
Yes.
And we should have really given in the early days.
Yeah. So
we've just, in fact, we've every year we try and do something a little bit different. We've always done it. Right, that's it. Now, if we can't get people coming to us, we're going to go to them. So we're going to do the outside catering. And that has prompted us, after all this time, to put together a proper website. So we now launched as chaideli.com. And on there is a selection of menus that people can have a look at and decide what they want. And we will then provide those to wherever they are.
and so what brings you better?
And I also like to be doing... I've always been in private business. Did it go for my... it's just... it's like them working out of a telephone kiosk. And it's amazing that they can produce what they do in the space provided. But they do, and if that means they have to work hours, I mean, Luke is... it's not unusual for him to go in early hours of the morning so that it's ready for when it's needed well.
If you are involved in this, what advice would you...
As a family, it's the point where we thought we haven't all worked together before as a family. And it is quite, you know, with the stresses of running a business that is put on you, and then you're all in it together. So it's not a case of going home and just offloading to someone who doesn't really know what's going on. So that is quite stressful. And a small business is always a 7-day-a-week job anyway.
Yes.
So it's with you all the time. And even when we get together as a family, inevitably... start talking about the business, yes. So we do have to make a conscious effort not to do that. And also the dynamics of the family. I mean, for my husband, he's a retired police officer, so being front of house was quite a shock to him.
Yes. Yeah.
And I tease him now that he's a work in progress as far as customer service is concerned. And I think, for my son and daughter-in-law, they spend a lot of time together, but working together it's different because they're producing different products as well. But when all said and done, I'm surprised that we're getting on as well as we are.
So in terms of this business then, what else would you like to achieve?
My original aim when setting it up was that it was for Luke and Becky and for the future, for them. So I think probably my husband and I would like to get to a stage where we could work more in the background than be front of house or work in the shop. And we'd like to get to that stage. Mm. It's become a little bit more difficult lately with all the development that's gone on in Mumbles. So whilst we were working away and it was going in the right direction, it's sort of got a little bit more tricky. And that's why we want to push the outside catering side of it now.
And I said at the beginning that you'd launched the Gower Tea brand, which is your own brand.
Yes, that's right.
But you've launched that on a separate website?
Yes, we've done that as gowertea.com as well. because I, you know, that's the side of it probably my husband and I spend most time with. We started off, as I said, at doing Mumble's Market, and I think we had 6 different loose leaf teas that we were selling, and then people would come along and say, "Oh, do you have this one?" And we'd say, "No, but by next month we'll have it," and we did. So that's why now we're up to about 60 different varieties. Amazing. Of loose leaf tea, and we could go on forever. I mean, the catalogues that come through from Germany and all, well, you can get them from Germany, you can get them from Britain, selling all these different teas. They are huge, and I could probably shelve out the whole of chai and fill it with packets of tea if I was able to.
So how have you developed your own brand?
Right, we've gone to one of the suppliers that we work with a lot. We've told them the sort of thing that we wanted. We've seen what people are asking us for. And we've tried to attribute an area of Gower that perhaps signifies the tea. So we have a Mumbles blend. We have a Three Cliffs blend, and we have a Rosilli blend at the moment.
Fantastic.
And who knows, we might go on and do some others. But in addition to which, we have lots of other, you know, other different types of tea that people like.
So the website, is it just for these
Gower
teas?
Although we've got those, they are really signposted, but we have added a few others. Like we do an Earl Grey, for example. You know, you can't not do an Earl Grey, really. So we do quite a few different teas, and the website is so that people can buy them online who perhaps don't often get a chance to come to the shop.
To the shop. Yeah. What advice would you give to people who were thinking of setting up maybe an online business?
An online business? I suppose do your research is always a very important one. I think you have to be true to yourself. And I would say that about business as a whole. Be true to yourself. I think we made a little bit of a mistake in the early days of trying to be all things to all men. So you want to really want the business to work, and you want it to be a resounding success. So if you listen to your customers, which is something that you must do, but not necessarily jump in with both feet because they said that they would like to see this or they would like to see that. It's got to be in keeping with the theme of the business that you're trying to create. And I think you need to have the vision as to where you want that business to be, what it looks like. I suppose you nearly have to get to the point where you can smell it and taste it and see it, so you know exactly what you're looking for. But that is a skill, and I can't say that I've necessarily got that. I can copy other people, but I can't necessarily see it for myself.
No, but chai is so visual. You know, when you come in and you see that gorgeous food, is a delight.
Yeah. Well, that didn't start off like that. I mean, the decor within chai has changed, and the positioning of the chairs, the tables, the shelving, the counters, it's all moved around over the last sort of 7 years, and we realised that those deli fridges, the glass deli fridges, really had to be front and centre, so that even if you looked in through the window, you could see them. And it's very important that we try and keep them stocked up as much as we can, because once they start to, the stock dwindles, but again, that's that can be quite a challenge in itself.
So would you have said that business is a work in progress, and you have to keep moving with it and shaping it?
Oh yes, don't ever think that I've got it now and the job is done and I'm just going to sit back. You can't. You've got to move with the times. Every year we think of something different. We even have a little garden area at the back that we open in the summertime, and we've planted it all up, and it's a bit of a sun trap, actually. So last summer, it worked against us a little bit, but it is a lovely, quiet area to sit. And so that was something else that we introduced. We, at one time, we introduced a takeaway tapas menu that we did for a few nights a week, and that worked very well to begin with, but maybe we didn't give it long enough. You know, that's a question we've asked ourselves a few times, but you just have to look at the cost effectiveness of setting different product lines up and how well they're going to work. But I would say every year you have to look at yourself and freshen yourself up a bit. Because if you're starting to get a bit stale, I'm sure your customers think you are as well.
So Mumbles itself,
yes.
What do you think of that in terms of the context to have a business in Mumbles? And
when we opened originally, and particularly where we were in amongst a lot of small shops, all offering something a little bit different. It had that artisan feel about it, and that's where we wanted to be. So we weren't interested in being in, the city centre of Swansea, because that's where all the chains were. That wasn't what we were aiming to be. We wanted to be artisan. We wanted to do things differently, homemade, seasonal, good quality products. That's what we were after. However, now Mumbles seems to have changed a bit in the last 18 months.
Yes, yes.
And I think the fact that so many chains have come into Mumbles is a strength and a weakness. It depends how you look at it.
Mm.
It's probably opened Mumbles up to a lot more visitors.
Yes.
But for us, it's difficult because also the parking situation up at our end of Newton Road is really, really dire. We have no real car park for people to come to. And as a lot of our customers, they are older people. That hill is just not doable for them.
Yes, yes, you're right.
Yeah. So it's we've been in contact with the Mumbles Community Council about it. We have quite a few discussions with them about it. But at the moment, nobody's really got an answer to the problem.
No. Yes, yes.
The infrastructure of Mumbles is just too difficult to do an awful lot with, I think, at the moment, to make it better for us anyway.
That's also a work in progress, isn't
yes.
it? There's so much change.
Yes, there is so much change.
So how do you manage the difference between the summer and the winter? What do you do to take account of that change?
We do have very loyal local customers who come along, but we have to accept that we're going to hopefully have a nice busy summertime, so from whenever Easter is, or May, September is to be our busier time. October it goes a bit quieter. Half term can be quite good. November then it starts to really quieten off, and that's the time we're planning for Christmas. There's no point us planning any earlier because Mumbles is a last minute Christmas shopping destination. So then we sort of make sure we've got the right stock in. That's when we get in things like teapots and bone china cups and saucers, maybe some different jams and chutneys so that people have got stocking fillers. And tea is always a huge seller at Christmas time. And we're ready then hopefully for that sort of last minute rush when it comes through the door. And if Christmas Eve is anything to go by, I don't think we knew what hit us. We thought we were going to be well prepared, but we just weren't. But it was very good Christmas Eve.
And do you see as well an interesting demographic? Do you see younger people drinking tea?
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. But we've had that on and off all the time. And when we first opened, I think one of the best memories I have is of a group of, I think it was about five young lads who'd obviously been playing rugby up at Underhill for the mud that they left behind. But they came in and they sat down and they all wanted a different pot of tea to drink and use the cups and saucers that we provided, which are all pre-loved bone china cups and saucers. So that was really quite a novelty.
And any nice pieces of cake?
Oh, yes, yes. We sell as much cake to go home as we sell to eat in. And in fact, that's the thing about all our food. We've made sure you can take it home. You know, you don't have to sit in and eat it. Everything is portable.
I noticed as well that you had introduced some recyclable packaging.
Yes.
So
we are working on that.
How did you engage with that?
I think it's just a case of where our suppliers are, we go and have a look and see what they've got. There is one particular container that I'm trying to replace with something that is more recyclable. And also, we are going to launch the idea that people can bring their own tea caddy in we will weigh it and then put in whatever amount of tea they want in it, and they can take it home that way. So they don't have to have, although we are paper bags, but they don't have to have our packaging and labelling then. Yeah. And if it's a tea that they know and like, they don't need our labelling to know how to brew it.
No.
And it's their personal taste anyway.
So the recycling side of it has...
We're very conscious of it, yes. We got rid of all the plastic straws, we do the paper straws now. We've got rid of the plastic knives and forks wherever possible for people going on picnics, and we do the wooden ones. So, yes, we're slowly but surely getting there.
Oh, that's excellent. We're
trying very hard anyway.
Lynn, moving away from chai for a moment, you've worked for a large organisation in the past. What experience would you say you gained there?
Oh, I think I gained quite a few skills and tips for working in a business. You can bring any of those to a small business as well. Certainly procedures, probably that would make some people shudder, but you have to put procedures in place to run any business, no matter what size it is. And I think the thing that you also have to remember is not to overcomplicate everything. Yes, there has to be certain mandatory procedures in place, but you also need to keep it simple. And that applies to your product range as well. Keep it simple, know exactly what you're doing. Doing a few things really, really well is important. But I also think dealing with people, you know, when you have a team of people working together all the time, then you need to play to each of their strengths. And you're going to find that they each have different strengths. So it's knowing what those are and using them in the right place, but also being aware of what your weaknesses are. I mean, we should all be aware of our weaknesses and know how we can counteract them and what we can do for the better.
Recently we spoke to Jill Burgess, and Jill felt that it was important to almost put people in place who were more talented than you.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and not to be frightened of other people's skills.
No. Because everybody brings something to the table. And that, I would say, is the case with Chai as well, that my son and my daughter-in-law, their skills are most definitely in the producing of the food that we serve. I'll dabble, but I'm not a chef. I might be a home cook, but I'm not a chef. So definitely I agree there. Now, my son would be more than happy to stay in the kitchen all day. He's not overly keen to come out front, unless he's asked a technical question that he can answer and then he doesn't mind. But he'd rather be in the kitchen all day. Whereas I love being out front and dealing with people. And they always, you know, having nice interaction with people will perhaps lighten a mood if you're not feeling great one day. So it's I'm a people person, I think it would be true to say.
It's having that generous nature almost, isn't it, to think that, okay, this is what I'm good at and somebody else is good at whatever it is that they're good at, and playing, as you said earlier, I think to people's strengths.
Yes.
And maybe that is a core element of business success, that we don't need to do everything, and that we should accept that.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think about my husband. He's sort of been thrown in the deep end at being at the front of house. He has a banter with people, but his banter, you know, you have to understand it. And there are those who come to enjoy the banter that he has. But one of the things he's really good at is very good at getting things done. I mean, if you start saying, I'm thinking about doing a website, then, he's on the case, he's looking it up, he's researching it, he's finding out all the information. Whereas I would take a lot longer to do all of that. He'll have it done and dusted, and he can give you the information that you need fairly quickly. So, you know, as I say, everybody comes with their strengths.
Yeah, so he's definitely a real doer. And
Yes. He likes more the research side of things and finding out. So if we're looking for like we were talking about recyclable cartons and things, if we were looking at that, he would be finding those and searching them out and making arrangements.
Did you ever engage with Belbin and team roles?
Yes.
And that is so true, isn't it?
It is. Very much so. Yes.
Anybody listening to this programme, if they look up Belbin, you'll understand the innovators.
Yes, exactly.
And I think when you know what you are, you can be happy then and play that role.
Yes, you can. But without pigeonholing too much, because I think, I mean, I'm also very much a believer in NLP, and
so neuro-linguistic programming.
Programming, yes. It's the way we talk to ourselves as much as talking to anybody else. And we will talk ourselves in or out of situations quite easily. And I always start off by saying to a class when I'm talking to them about these things, you know, who got up this morning, walked into the bathroom, looked in the mirror and said, God, I'm good. And aren't you lucky to have me today? And more often than not, we'll go, oh, dear, do I really look like that?
Yes, you know, right.
So we start the day off on a negative before we've gone anywhere.
That's very true.
I think if we don't believe in what we can do and who we are, then nobody else is really going to buy into it either.
No, you're right. Yeah. There's a great TED talk. I don't know whether you've heard of Amy Cuddy.
Yes, yes.
No, brilliant for that, isn't she?
Yes.
You've got to believe in yourself.
And, yes, you do. And if you don't, then, you know, you're fighting an uphill struggle. Yeah. So, I mean, there's the difference between doing that and being a bit sort of arrogant and big-headed about it.
Yes, fine line.
Yes. It's whether your glass is half empty or half full, really, and how you look at life. Yes.
Oh, Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been really lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
This is Oyster Mouth Radio.